That's our ad.
Okay, welcome to the Sci-Fi Double Feature podcast. We have some members of the... We have some members of the cast here. We're going to discuss the show. I'm Troy Miller. I'm going to moderate this podcast. We'll go around the circle this way. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Andy Crouch.
Hi, I'm Alex DeBranco.
I'm Ruby Willman.
I'm Lauren Zinn.
Okay, great. So let's get right into this. So first off, how many of you, besides me, because I would consider this, how many of you would consider yourselves Trekkies or hardcore fans of Star Trek? Do we have any Trekkies here?
I would say I'm an appreciator, but not a Trekkie. I grew up with a passionate love of Star Wars, so I think I'm excluded.
So not part of this discussion.
Sorry.
I'm going to get this guy out of here.
Andy, it's a whole different movie, whole different characters.
I'm pretty sure you guys aren't, like, Trek fans.
Not even,
like,
hardcore.
I was never a Trekkie, but for about a year and a half in grade school, in elementary school, I watched Star Trek, the original series, every day after school.
Aww.
Having said that, 15 years later, I could not remember any of the character names.
Yeah, no, Ruby wanted to audition for the show, and I was pop quizzing her. She, I don't think she even got Spock right.
That's not true.
I thought I was auditioning for Star Wars.
Okay.
But when I got cast, it was strange.
Let's talk about Twilight Zone. anyone here consider themselves diehard fans of Twilight Zone before you got involved with the show?
Not diehard, but I do. I always loved the Twilight Zone. I grew up watching that. Actually, I grew up watching the new one first because I was a child of the 80s.
I would say I'm a fan of the Twilight Zone, but I really grew up a passionate believer in The Outer Limits, which, no, that's not true.
Okay.
I thought I was auditioning for Twilight.
This podcast has gone on 2 minutes and not a word of truth has been spoken.
No, awesome. I was not a fan, really, almost at all, but I think since being cast, I've become kind of an apprentice of both shows. I've gotten into them.
People, you guys are liking the shows now that you're seeing them and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I think I was surprised because, you know, I watched it when I was a kid, but Star Trek specifically, I was surprised by how good it is. Like, watching the episodes, I've seen so many parodies on Star Trek and so many people make fun of, like, William Shatner and whatnot, that when I actually watched the show, seriously, it's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I think that's, like, the common, like, going back and watching a bunch of both of these in prep for the show, they're both imminently parodyable in so many ways, but there's also something really fucking great about both of them in a big way, like kind of grand, ridiculous, big, almost Shakespearean in Star Trek, and then like a really careful, precise, classy way with Twilight Zone, like old science fiction, like the original kind of pulp paperback stuff.
Well, and it made me really want to respect the show versus exploit the show, like in our shows.
It's like a love letter to the shows.
Wow, that was great.
So at the Hideout,
that's our pull quote.
At the Hideout, we've done Star Trek before. We've done it a bunch. We call the show Star Trekkin'. Twilight Zone is totally new for us. And a kind of a new experience in improv, at least for me, maybe some of you can talk about this, but the idea that you have to sustain mystery over a fairly lengthy period of time, and we're taught in improv, spell it out, get it out there, be clear, be specific. What's it been like trying to, like, figure that out, sustaining that mystery?
It's totally fun. The thing about both Star Trek and Twilight Zone when you watch them is that storytelling moved so much slower back then. Like, now we're so used to TV and movies that move so fast, and we tend to move really fast in improv as well. So it's like a whole different set of muscles to really explore all the nuances of characters and situations, and you build a story in a totally different way. So it's a mystery to us as it's unfolding, as opposed to knowing where you're going, but just not telling anyone.
Is that unsettling?
It was really hard for me at first. Like, it was really uncomfortable to be in a scene, and I could feel that sort of click to be like, okay, explain this, figure it out. Because I think all of us have been so inundated with stories of today where things happen so fast and you figure it all out super quickly that I felt very uncomfortable at first, but then kind of as we went on, it became really nice to linger in the unknown of it all and sort of
and be okay with that,
and
right?
Be totally comfortable, you know, looking at different theories of why shit has gone so weird, because eventually it'll organically kind of come out what what is going on, or what the next step is to figuring out what is going on.
You know, improv shows traditionally are comedic. They tend to be funny. We've all been a part of shows that have had dramatic aspects. You think you can sustain suspense in a show and then also comedy and have both of them work?
They're so related.
Yeah.
Both of them are like, when something's funny and when something is suspenseful, there's a tension, and then it breaks.
Yeah.
And you laugh or you scream or whatever it is.
Ooh, yeah. Gasp. I think the audience is looking to react. They're wanting to have a connection with the show.
And there's comedy inherent in all of these situations, no matter how suspenseful they are.
It's true. It's true.
There's always something that is comedic about how weird this is getting.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the original shows, there's laugh out loud funny stuff happening regularly, just because it's so, it takes itself so seriously, and it's so of a time.
Yeah.
And our conventions aren't like that anymore. And I think us portraying that on stage, inevitably funny stuff comes up when we find a moment that is surprising. And I think these shows have been such an educational process, because most of our improv is probably not as patient as it ought to be. Like, if you watch any standard improv show, we're probably rushing it more than we need to. And these shows really teach you to slow down and explore before you heighten again, or make sure you build that platform before you take it in a weird direction or something goes crazy.
By the way, that pounding sound that you're hearing on the mic, that's Andy emphasizing his points as he's making them, just to be clear. Just want to make sure that everyone's aware of that. Now, going back to Star Trekkin', so this is a show that is probably one of the first genre narrative shows we ever did at the Hideout, you know, really kind of focusing on taking source material and trying to spoof it or whatever. And Andy, you and I, we've done the show a bunch. What do you think is still compelling about it? What makes it fun for you to continue to want to explore it and do it?
I think it's got so much potential as a genre that you can be big in. One of my other favorite shows is Improv Shakespeare, and I feel like these are very similar in that when it's good, it's almost operatic in the character emotions and choices, and the stories are so unlimited in what can happen that I think it's imminently explorable.
Do you guys feel, for those of you that are kind of new to the show, do you feel daunted by any pressure to get it right, to get that?
Yes.
It's incredible.
Is it photon phasers?
They have what are phasers we doing? At rehearsals that they shoot at us. It's hard, yeah. My first few rehearsals, I felt like anything I said was wrong. Because I didn't know Star Trek. But then I kind of realized that anything you say, as long as you say it confidently, is right. Because, you know, they bullshit their way through those shows in the real show.
You mean that physics isn't accurate on the show?
Everything that they do is impossible, but they still do it, so, you know.
Also, it's been fun for me to kind of see, like, the benchmarks for myself, because I've been watching a lot of episodes and knowing that first rehearsal where I didn't want to say anything because I didn't know what I was talking about, and now, like, knowing how to do the captain's log and knowing the correct terms and having that realization that what came out of my mouth actually did come from an episode, and it was correct lingo. So it's cool to see that.
What's super cool, I think, about improv in general, but especially in this where we kind of don't know the language and the technical specs or whatever, is that no matter how wrong you are, everybody's always right there
No one's gonna say no to your weird technological offer.
And I think some of the most delightful moments happen when somebody says something that's really ridiculous, and then we kind of go with it.
So many people ask me, oh, do I have to be a Star Trek fan to like the show? And the answer is no. Because over the years, we've had so many people come that weren't. I mean, we've only had a handful of, like, diehard Trekkies come and, like, show us their photos of them with William Shatner at StarCon or something like that.
Yeah.
But you guys are new to the show, wouldn't call yourselves Trekkies or hardcore fans, and yet you can improvise it and appreciate it. So clearly it's something that anyone can come and appreciate and really get into, right?
Yeah, it's just a good show. A good show is a good show.
Yeah, a good story is a good story.
Okay, so Rod Serling, creator of Twilight Zone, we see him in the credits of the show all the time. William Shatner plays the captain of the Enterprise, Captain Kirk, If both of them were to engage in a fight in a cage match, who would win? Final question.
It would turn out that they are both dolls in a dollhouse.
Oh, good answer. No one had gone.
I think Shatner would beat the crap out of Serling.
I think Serling would make Shatner believe that he was in the Twilight Zone, and that would destroy Shatner's sense of being.
I think Serling would just be in the shadows and not be able to be found.
Either that, or they would collaborate on a rap album that's huge in Germany.
And on that note, this has been the Sci-Fi Double Feature Podcast. Come and see the show every Saturday, January and February, at 8 p.m. at the Hideout Theater.
Goodbye!